Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. We're talking a lot about the Denver Broncos and where they're at in their season.
Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show who you play has such a determining factor.
It's massive.
You know, we talked about it in the offseason when the schedules came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I mentioned this yesterday, like, when the schedule came out, were there any Steeler fans out there going, "Oh yeah, they're going to be like 4-0 at this point"?
Of course not. Right.
Yeah.
You said it yesterday. Most people had the Steelers 2-2 right now.
Right.
You know,
none
of that ever goes the way you think. Of course, so we should know that year after year, and even, you know, just to this, some Steeler related things. Look at the Bills. I just ranked them one in the power ranks. They had a tough time in week one. And then they blew out a bunch of bad teams.
They've shut out two bad teams, yeah.
Really bad teams, you know. Right. But does that mean they're the best team in the league? I mean, I don't know who else to put there, but now they play the Chiefs. They might lose by 30 to the Chiefs.
They're not going to pitch a shutout this week.
No, you know. Or even the Steelers, quote, games they should have won against the Raiders and Bengals. Well, those teams are 3-1 and in first place right
playing
now.
Playing well,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, look back on it after if you want to analyze those type of things and see the path.
Yeah,
you know?
Even the Seattle game that's upcoming, I know a lot of people are looking, well, that's going to be a tough game for the Steelers, and it will be.
Sure. Russell Wilson's won a lot of games this league.
But what if he doesn't play?
Or, yeah,
what if he gets hurt? They play Thursday night. What if Russell Wilson gets? What if he gets concussed? Or mm-hmm. or you know, God forbid.
I think Lockett's.
I don't want to see
something
that happen.
Too,
yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, right? Or I mean, you don't know what version of the team you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Of course.
So it's all relevant, and things change quickly in the NFL. You know, this first 4 weeks, while it hasn't been great, it's just 4 weeks. You know, teams, coaches. This is what I want to hear from the coaches, because they always split things into four game.
Quarters.
Yeah. Well, now you get the extra quarter.
Right.
Is that the overtime period?
Yeah, it's leap year.
Let's ask our guest here, Bob Labriola of Steelers Digest and Steelers.com. Bob, have you gotten any clarity on that yet with the 17-game schedule? Is this thing still split into quarters, or is that 17th game now an overtime game?
Good question. I mean, I'm still trying to, you know, filter through whether the Steelers need to, you know, pick up Cam Newton or Stephon Gilmore, or Mitchell Schwartz, or, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I guess it would be maybe you could do four games and a quarter of the fifth game, and that's a quarter of the season.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, if you look at it that way, okay, the Steelers lost the first quarter of the game thus far. They're 1-3. Obviously not the record. But if they go, let's say they go 3-1 in the second quarter, or 4-0, does everybody then forget everything that's happened here early in the season? Like, I've been doing this too long, as have you. I'm not going to hit the everybody wants the panic button. Make this change. Bench the quarterback. Bench this guy. This guy stinks.
Well, fire
everybody. The coaches.
Yeah, right.
It's just there's way too much season left for that to
happen.
It's
a marathon.
Yeah, and you know, I think. You know, last year should have taught everyone that. You know, it was the other way.
Right.
Because it was Super Bowl Coach of the Year, Hall of Fame for everybody, even to the halfway point, because you're 8-0. And, you know, it is, you know, football, I believe, more than any other sport, even though football has the fewest number of regular season games in a season, it's a war of attrition. And I make this point fairly often. On NFL.com, every Monday morning. There's a story, and you know what I'm referring to, Dale, because you're an old newspaper hack like me. I would say it's probably about 25 to 27 inches long. All they do is list all the people who were injured in previous day's games. So, and they never run out of people to talk about. I mean, you're talking about, you know, three, four, sometimes more per team, per week. You know, some are serious in terms of, you know, multiple missed games. Others are, you know, they were knocked out of the game in the second quarter, didn't return. Their status for next week is going to be updated or whatever. But, you know, it's a rare occurrence, I believe, when not every team is mentioned. And so, you know, that is part of it, too. All of this, you know, the how difficult the Steelers' schedule is, and, you know, I'll give it to them. It does look very difficult. You know, but what if Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield get hurt next week? Then how tough is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, how,
2 weeks ago, everyone, or 2 years ago, everyone looked at the Steelers and said, boy, that's going to be a really tough game. They didn't think Duck Hodges was going to be the game.
Neither did I.
Right. So I don't think any of it, yeah.
Well, you know, Bob, if John Harbaugh continues to go for records instead of wins, with having Lamar Jackson run the ball at the end of a game, you could very well see Lamar Jackson not be playing by the time the Steelers face them.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that the Ravens are doing, and I get it, they're playing to the strengths of their people, and I'm not going to criticize that, but every time Lamar Jackson gets himself out of that pocket, he becomes a runner. And I think that over the course of, I don't know if it'll be this season, maybe next season, you know, I've seen a lot of people speculating that he's never going to get to that second contract because, you know, I just think that more teams are going to maybe dig into that rule book and find out when they can hit him and when they can't. And when they can, they will start doing that. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, I'm not intimating he's not a tough guy or, you know, any of that stuff, but he is not as big as the people who will be hitting him. And he is just one person absorbing all those hits, and there are going to be multiple people delivering them. So just, you know, my very sketchy knowledge of physiology, I would bet my money on the many as opposed to the few. And
well, you were a pre-med major, Bob.
Yeah, for 15 minutes. you know, who was it on Animal House? It was pre-med, I forget now.
I think it was Blutarski, wasn't it?
I think it was Bluto, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. But
Dr. Labs in his lab coat.
Yeah, that's his father, yeah.
Right. I just think that's why you've never seen, and I don't know that you ever will, a Super Bowl champion with a running quarterback. It's just not a high percentage way to try and you know, slice up the pie, so to speak. So, but we'll see. You know, I do admit that sitting here right now with what I have seen so far, I would be shocked if the Steelers won the next two games. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm just saying, and I'll just show you exactly what I know. When the Steelers were 7-5 in 2005 in the regular season and had just lost to the Bengals at home, I said on the radio, I think the show was called Countdown to Kickoff, and I was with Mike Pursuta and Joe Bendel sitting in Chukkas. That's where we did the show, and I said that there is no way, based on what the Steelers have done to this point, are they going to be able to win their last four games and get into the playoffs? So there you go. So everybody take a grain of salt when you're listening to me, but that's how I see it at this point.
I tend to be in your corner with that, with where they're at right now. And maybe this is super optimistic and too rosy of glasses, but I thought the offense took a baby step forward this past week. You know, the way the line came off the ball, the way they ran the ball, fewer mistakes. I mean, again, I'm grasping a little bit on that side of the ball, but I thought it was progress.
Yeah, I'm not going to discount that, but I also believe that for it to improve enough to turn it around, mm-hmm. is what we're talking about, I think, There's going to have to be some concessions made, and players and coaches, everybody, and just an acceptance of what this roster is and is not. And, to me it comes down to this, and I'm an old guy, and I've seen a lot of seasons. And often seasons turn on this. Are we more interested in establishing our offenses and defenses, or are we trying to win games with what we have? And once that decision is made, I think that we will have a much better idea, of what's around the bend for this team this year. Because I just don't believe that whatever the Matt Canada offense is, and I'm not smart enough to even know that. But what if that's what we have been seeing so far, it has to change. If they're going to turn the corner, because I don't believe they have the personnel to execute it. And so now it becomes: are you more interested in establishing your system, or trying to do what the assembled roster is capable of doing? And, I don't know who makes that decision. It's certainly not me. And I don't even know if it was me that I would make the right one. So, but I'm just saying the league, the NFL is a different, it's different. It's not college. It's not football the way it's played anywhere else. So I don't really think you can look at this or that and compare it to or whatever. I think you have to understand how the NFL works and just kind of adopt kind of like tunnel vision in terms of how you're assessing things. And, because there's no help, nobody's coming knocking on the door and is going to help you. I mean, there's nobody to sign. You're not going to get anybody in a trade. Nobody's going to trade you anyone. I mean, we can play these games, and it's nice. Wouldn't it be nice to do this for that and give them this and get that or whatever?
That ship sailed for the year. I mean, Larry Bird's not walking through that door. You're right.
Right, that's it. And you don't have any money to spend, even if there were. There was anyone. So, with the cap and the draft only being 7 rounds and, everybody – trying to slit your throat. I mean, every other team. That's it. It's what you have is what you have. And there, as you mentioned, Matt, there's no white horses coming over the horizon with the cavalry. It's just not. So again, you hope for the best. Look for the little things in terms of improvements and stuff. And I just try and focus on, not expecting every season to end with a Lombardi Trophy presentation, because that's not realistic, certainly.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. So, Bob, changing gears here real quick, ESPN did a story on football and analytics. They do this every year. Which teams use analytics the most? Which teams?
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to.
So their teams, they did a vote, and they polled analytics people around the league. Shockingly enough, they also said, hey, you should use it more.
Well, of course.
There's
right.
A shock. But they're talking about, which teams use it the most, which teams use it the least. The Steelers surprisingly didn't come in among the teams that are last in that, because usually they do.
I haven't read it, but I glanced at it. I didn't see the Steelers mentioned at all.
They weren't mentioned at all.
Okay, right? They weren't top or bottom or anything, yeah.
But the teams that are the most analytically, according to this poll, the most analytically advanced: Cleveland, Baltimore, Buffalo, Dallas, Indianapolis, Philadelphia.
I want to interject super quick, though. Analytics folks, Baltimore supposedly hired all these analytics folks and people off Twitter and all that stuff. But one of the foundational analytic things you never do is use high picks on linebackers and running backs. And they took Patrick Queen and J.K. Dobbins back to back. Everyone kills the Steelers for that, But the analytically driven Ravens, oh, that's a great move.
You know, well, that was going to be my question to Bob. We've heard this for years. There have been people in the media who pound the analytics table, and you always go for it on this thing. You never punt in this situation. How do you balance? I understand there is a place for analytics in the game, but this isn't baseball where, okay, this guy's going to get a hit three. He's going to bat 300 this season. He hits, 297 against lefties, and he hits 320 against right-handers. So I'm gonna leave him in there in this situation. But that other guy can't hit lefties, so I'm going to yank him every time.
Especially over the course of 162 games as opposed to 16 or 17. Yeah,
when the guy that struggles hitting lefties is your power hitter who has got 40 home runs, he might run into one here. That's bad analytics. Well,
yeah, I mean, and this was one, and this was quite a few years ago now. The Steelers were in Kansas City playing the Chiefs. And it was one of those situations at the end of the half where I'm sure the analytics people would have said, call the timeout, to get the ball back for your offense. Okay, the game was close. But what the analytics people never consider is Landry Jones was the quarterback that day.
Right.
Ben. Okay, so why are you hurrying to get Landry Jones the ball? Because with Landry Jones as the quarterback and you're on the road against a decent Kansas City team, you want to shorten the game, not lengthen it. You don't want more snaps for Landry Jones. You want more snaps for Ben. If it's Landry or Duck Hodges, or you want fewer snaps for them so that they have fewer opportunities, to mess it up. I mean, that's what I always refer to as the reality of the moment. I mean, that's the problem with analytics in my mind. It's always this situation, you do this. But it doesn't take into consideration as
your left tackle's getting his butt whipped all day long. And
right.
So,
or the wind, or, right.
Or your Jimmys and Joes against their Jimmys and Joes. I mean, sometimes you just want to get off the field with the score as it is. I don't want the ball anymore because, as you mentioned, my left tackle stinks, or my quarterback is my second or third guy, or, whatever. I don't have any receivers. Whatever the reality of the situation is, that's never taken into consideration with analytics. And so that's why analytics to me is, and it's useless. And, to me, the number one analytics guy of all time, Billy Dean, next time he wins something, give me a call, okay? You have my number. I'm still waiting for that call. So there's that, too.
You said Billy Bean, right? Not Billy B. Belichick, right?
No, Billy Bean.
Okay, yeah. It's funny because I was going to bring up Belichick. I'm sitting here, NFL Network's on in front of us. Patriots, Tampa's on from Sunday night, the big Brady game. And Belichick ignored analytics, tried to totally shorten the game because he realized his Jimmys and Joes aren't as good as the Super Bowl champs. They get weather in their favor, and they just want to play as few of snaps as possible, kind of like you were talking about with Landry Jones. And I always use this analogy. Like, I'm never going to beat LeBron James in a three-point shooting contest, but if it's the first one to one, I might. if it's first one to 100, never in a million years. So just shorten the game to no end and, stay in the ring.
Yeah. And so that's, and as Dale mentioned, I think there are certain sports that are more conducive to the analytics, baseball being one of them. As you've mentioned, a lot of baseball, is a one-on-one thing, pitcher against hitter.
Right.
The other thing is, you mentioned 162 games in a regular season. So
if you play the odds, right.
Things have a way of finding their level. You can be either really good or really bad over a short span, but if you have a 10-year career, which you're a 295 hitter, the odds are that at the end of the year, you're going to be pretty close to 295. Mm-hmm. And so you can, mess with it around that way a little bit. But, it always seemed to me, especially at the few analytics people I've met, they're the math geeks who couldn't play the sport. And let me just point this out. I couldn't play the sport either, so I'm not making fun of something that I am not.
Yeah, we're the word geeks.
Right. So, it's not always an arithmetic problem. You know, because I remember one time getting into an argument with someone big on analytics, and he was telling me, and we were talking about basketball, and if you're a, you know, a 35% lifetime three-point shooter from the NBA line, you know, one is the same as the other. I said, okay, wait a minute. If your young son, you know, was hanging over a crocodile pit, you know, by his ankle, and the guy holding the kid's ankle said, you can pick either Larry Bird or whatever his percentage, three-point percentage is, another guy who has the same percentage, to shoot one three-pointer or I drop your kid into the crocodile pit. You going to tell me, go ahead, you know, flip a coin? Or you going to say, I think I like the guy who I've seen do this.
Under pressure.
What matters most, yes, yeah.
Under pressure, right. There are human beings involved. And so there is pressure, and people feel pressure. Some people are able to channel it properly and use it as fuel. Other people, it paralyzes them. And so that's why analytics to me is, it doesn't take into consideration truly what makes the difference between great and very good. Because I'm sure there are quarterbacks in the NFL maybe with the same completion percentage as Joe Montana. But who do you want 45 seconds left to take you down that field in the Super Bowl to throw that touchdown pass to John Taylor? Joe Montana or somebody else with his same completion percentage? I know who I want. And if somebody else wants somebody else, good. Then that leaves Montana for me.
Good stuff as always, Bob. I appreciate you. And we will see you on Sunday at Heinz Field. Can't wait for this one. I should think it might be an entertaining ball game between two good defenses.
I do believe that the Steelers need to figure out a way to block Von Miller.
That would be a good way to start.
This guy is a game wrecker. Can't let him wreck the game.
He is back, 100%.
Absolutely. Yes. But he is Bob Labriola. I'm Dale Lally. He's Matt Williamson. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take another break. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Focus. We'll do that right after this.
Life's an adventure, and it's waiting. Hi, this is Merrill Hodge. At S&T Bank, they know life's for the living. That's why S&T Bank offers solutions to help you get the most out of it. Whether you're investing in your home, planning for the future, or just making the most of every day, S&T Bank is here to help. Learn how S&T Bank can help you live the life you want at stbank.com. Member FDIC. S&T Bank was ranked number one in customer satisfaction with retail banking in Pennsylvania by J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2022 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.